In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages, it's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Hanukkah may be 8 nights, but I only see 10s.
You think your hair's a mess? Take a look at my life.
Meanwhile, his hair is perfect. There's a little editor's note.
Oh my god. I asked so many people like to help me out with that on like social media, and people went crazy. So when we put this out, I want to like post a bunch of people's things. They were coming up with the funniest thing. Like really good.
I have to tell you. So I do a new tagline in every single episode of Andy's Girls, and we're on episode 269, but also like a million. So I have done well over 200 taglines, and at this point it's like, hey, how are you? I just pull something out of my ass. Truly, I can't believe I haven't like duplicated. I'm sure I have.
I'm actually shocked by that.
Subconsciously.
That's some good commitment. I'm very, very shocked by that. Wow.
And yet I had a friend who works on one of the franchises reached out and was like, hey, if you have any ideas for like a tag for so-and-so, and I truly had none.
No way. That's
it was like, I can't think of any. I sent like the stupidest one that was like an embarrassment. It was so bad.
And it's supposed to be so personal to that person. So, and you and I, you know, we take this stuff really seriously. So it's like, you don't want to mess that up.
I should.
Yeah.
100%. And it's also super specific to the season. So without having, I should have been like, can you send me like 10 or 15 episodes and then I will let you know. Just from an academic perspective, I just want to study. Charity work really is what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Bless my heart, honestly. Listen, I need to bless the heart of today's guest. He's new to the people's couch, but I mean, my God, I'm already thinking, when can you come back? You know him as celebrity colorist, co-founder of the hair care brand DP Hue, and cast member of Very Cavallari, Justin Anderson. Welcome to Andy's Girls.
This is so exciting. I mean, this is, honest to God, my favorite topic in the entire world is talking about housewives. So this is the place for me. Recently, I've been talking a lot on social media saying, you know what, like, you fuckers can't let me talk about the housewives anymore because everyone gets so fired up. I mean, there's so much happening in housewife world, mm-hmm. And I talk super open about it because I'm not a hater. I'm a lover of all of them, and I'm so thankful for housewives in our mm-hmm. lives mm-hmm. that I want to talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. But people lately have gotten so passionate about it because such big things are happening that my DMs, I couldn't even go into them anymore. People are like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you're standing by so-and-so, or I can't believe you're picking this. I'm like, you guys are nuts. Like, we're allowed to disagree on things, and we're allowed to get excited about certain people and not love other ones. I pretty much love pretty much everyone. Like, I'm kind of like, I see the good. I see the entertainment in all of them. So I have that kind of like an objective look at all of them. And people, I find lately, want to hate certain people. And I don't get into that.
Well, it's also gone from you must hate this person to if you do not hate this person, if you do not feel the level of anger that I feel about this person, I will ruin you.
Yes.
You're wrong and I'm going to drag you until forever, which is a wild take. A wild take.
No, the amount of people who would write things being like, Justin, I've loved you for a really long time and I followed you on Instagram for a long time, but I have to unfollow you now. Like, I just can't stand by what you're saying. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like, that's where we've got to now. Also, like,
yes,
recently, like,
we're there.
Like, Meghan McCain on The View, she's a friend of mine on social media uh-huh. and all that kind of stuff. And we always joke around with each other, and I love her. We're very different in our ways of the world, but we have fun talking about housewives. And she had posted a mm-hmm. picture of Erica Jane, and I was like, woohoo, love you girls, or whatever, just made some fun comment. And people wrote to me saying, I just saw that you commented on Megan's thing. Like, I can't believe that you like Megan and that you're talking about Erica. Like, it's just like, you guys are crazy. Like, it's gotten so bad.
Well,
do you notice that at all, or is it just me with the depth?
It is. Do I agree with truly any of Megan's takes about housewives? I'm sure I actually have. I know that I vehemently disagree with her take about certain housewives topics, and I do want to get your thoughts. But can I just ask you, speaking of this conversation, what was the one or two, you know, you giving feedback, sharing your thoughts about housewives that created the biggest reaction, pro or con? Like, is there a moment recently or overall where you're like, oh, I think this person, yada, yada, and that is the moment that you got so much strong feedback?
Yeah.
Can you think of one or two in particular?
No, just recently with the whole Erica Jane thing. You know, I come from a place of, if I'm very, very honest, I'm not a big Erica Jane fan. I'm not a big Erica Jane fan. I appreciate her. I think she's great TV and she's fun. I've always loved her outfits mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not like a ride or die Erica guy. And when all this Erica stuff happened, I talk into my Instagram all day long. Like, I love to have conversations. I talk to people. I love to engage. Like, I really enjoy it. So I always talk about housewives. So I was talking about Erica Jane. I was like, you guys, here's the thing. Like, this stuff, we're all getting it in real time. You know,
yes.
while the gossip stuff was coming out, then the show's airing. And I'm like, we still haven't got all the facts yet. I was like, I come from the place of like, I want to wait to be an Erica hater. I don't want to say fire mm-hmm. her, get rid of her. I can't stand her. I can't believe her. I'm like, we still have a lot to learn. And people were like, I can't believe you're saying that. What about the victims? And I'm like, first of all, I want the victims to get everything they deserve. And I think the victims are the real victims here. But I can also see that like, Erica, in her own way, in her own world on this show, is her own type of a victim. You know, like, If it is the way that she's saying it is, and she had no idea, and she was married to this man for all these years, she thought she was married to a man with tons of money. If she was totally blindsided, then I feel bad for her. And I don't think she knew. I really, really don't. And I find that people are really angry about that. And I think that just might be me as a person. I've been in the celebrity world for so long, and I've seen gossip and tabloids forever about people that I know really closely, that I work with, that I'm friends with. So I really always come from the place of like, I don't believe the gossip sites. I don't believe that stuff. Stuff changes constantly. And if I get in trouble, if I'm totally wrong, if it comes out that Erica is the biggest criminal in the world, I will absolutely be like, holy shit, I was bamboozled, by the tabloids. But I don't think there's anything wrong with showing a little bit of grace and kind of watching and take it all in. But I also get why people hate her, but I don't think that people should hate me for not jumping on the hate train. Does that make sense?
Well, it totally does. And I think a couple things. One, I had Crystal on AG while the season was still very much still airing. It was like shortly before they filmed the reunion. And she made the point, which other people have made, which I don't know if it's like I refuse to understand it, but like it's such a good point, which is like when we're watching the show, we have the benefit of knowing a ton of information that these women are truly only discovering for the first time. And like we know from what Bethany has told us with which Andy and Kyle have both acknowledged, she shared with them a couple years prior some, rumors she had heard through Dennis about Tom, but they were rumors. People hear gossip, including in similar industries, in the world of finance, in the world of like these large-scale legal cases. So just because someone heard a rumor about someone doesn't mean that that holds water over anything. And then it turns out that there was an extremely deeply fucked up situation happening that these women are reacting to. And the other complication is that, and this is going to sound insensitive and it's not meant to be because obviously the victim's first, yada, yada, but this is a show about Erica. It's a show about housewives. So the perspective is not going to be centered around the absolute victims of this huge, terrible situation. It's going to be centered around Erica and her friends' reactions. It can be centered around Erica's absolutely nonsensical, vile social media about it, where she's like celebrating it, where she's like, you know why the reunion's a big hit? Because of me, like forever. Like we can talk about that, but the reality is like we can talk about the importance of centering the victims, but that's not the show is not built or the show was not made for this kind of crime to occur. So it's just
Exactly.
there's a discrepancy there that is just going to continue to exist.
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly how I feel too. And the show is not about that. It's about Erica. I will say, even with what I was saying earlier, do I think that Erica didn't act in the best way? Yeah, but that's also Erica. We always knew that Erica was never going to be a person who was going to cry and say she's sorry. She's going to
Yeah,
stay,
she's kind of a
yeah,
dick.
she's going to stay strong. But I think that's her personality. And I also think that for me, if you really read into what we know about Erica, I think that's because in her heart, she thinks she's absolutely right. She thinks like the truth is going to come out and I'm going to be able to flick all these people off. If she knew in the back of her mind that she really was guilty and she knew, I think she would play it a little bit differently. And that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. That's just me, like, that's just me kind of like, this is how I kind of see it. I think that like she's being a dick because she's pissed that everyone's being a dick to her. So I don't know. It's really interesting. And there is a part of me that feels bad for her. When she was crying, I felt so bad. I also know Erica from the LA world. I used to see Erica come into the salon that I worked at for years before she was on the Housewives. And she was the same kind of stoic, wouldn't really talk to anyone. She's not friendly and warm. So do I think that she's the type of person that's going to cry and like reach out to the victims through the Real Housewives platform? No, I think that like she's going to treat this like a business. She's going to go through the trial. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm not shocked like everyone else is with that kind of stuff.
I also think there's a difference between what I would consider in her mind, justifiable anger about the anger that's coming at her that she feels is not deserved versus anger toward her husband for these crimes that are committed, which I don't see. And I think based on her current legal strategy, she's arguing that it maybe didn't exist, like that these crimes, like the idea of crime, you know, she goes on the reunion. She's like, listen, if this stuff is proven, asterisk, a lot of it has been, like, in court has been proven. And he obviously cannot deliver the money that was already awarded, that's gone MIA. If, you know, she makes a point of saying, you know, like, depending on, like, the valuation of how much this person was taken advantage of, where there's a value system that they are setting to these victims that feels like it is not including the idea that what happened happened. And that can be a legal strategy. I get it. But the other side to this is she did not, and still to me has not exhibited anger, genuine anger toward her husband. And yet when she's asked that by Crystal, by other people, she says, well, you can tell I'm angry because I'm getting angry at you. Is that enough? There's like, in the word, I always think about, in the words of like Jennifer Aniston talking about Brad Pitt, there's a sensitivity chip that's missing. And it also makes me question if she really understands what happened and how much of that is related to her thinking like, I shouldn't have to be punished for this, even if my lifestyle was funded with stolen funds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think the thing that a lot of people are missing, because people keep, they'll always say like, and I'm talking about like DMs and comments that I get and all this kind of stuff. People are like, if it were me, and it's like, you guys, we can't try to compare ourselves to Erica Jayne, because also Erica Jayne, she is kind of a shut off, aloof person. She's not showing emotion. I would lose my mind. I'd be crying in the street, begging for forgiveness. What can we do? I'd be wanting to do like a fundraiser and stuff, but I'm not Erica Jayne. You know, like, she has her own way of dealing with this. And I think that you're on a platform, and I think she has this fear that if she starts crying and saying she's sorry and she's talking about the victims, then people will even cave on her even more. The way they're tearing on her now, if she starts saying that, they're going to say, see, she is guilty. So I don't know. I just don't think that there's any way that she can win right now.
I think I counter with that a little, in the idea that, listen, there's a legal strategy, which I am not an attorney. I just play one on TV. Like, there's a legal strategy that absolutely includes the idea, potentially the idea, that if she acknowledges feeling sorry, that can be tapped into when it comes to figuring out how much of this she's going to have to pay back, how much is going to be awarded, what happens in these civil claims, and there are numerous ones. However, she not only is showing a lack of true empathy and or a reaction that includes the idea that her husband did do something terrible to people who were vulnerable,
right,
who put their faith in him. Not only is that not present, but she seems to be, with her online persona, making a joke of it.
Yeah, no, the idea totally. That,
like, how much of it is her ego? How much of it is a defense mechanism? You can be cold as the day is fucking long. You know, it's goddamn winter time here in New York. So, like, I have no problem with cold. But the insensitivity of it, she does exhibit cruelty, which is different to me. She does exhibit a very reactionary and sometimes cruel ability to, like, inflict a certain something from them. And it could be because she's in a lot of pain, and it could be because she's, like, spiraling. I get it. But I don't know. Like, you gotta try to see the other, and I say that to her because I'm sure she's listening. You know, like, you've gotta, like, where there is a sensitivity chip that's missing, that is on her.
100% there is. And, like, look, I know that, like, people even probably listen to this podcast, like, what the fuck is this guy saying? I do think this is crazy. I just didn't expect that from her anyways. I didn't expect her to show sympathy.
I totally get that.
You know
that.
What I mean?
I totally get
and
that.
I will say that when I watched the reunion, I was, like, cringing. I was like, I can't believe she's acting acting this way. She wasn't acting sad at all or anything. But again, I'm like, but that's Erica. Like, she's not going to back down. I feel like this is a woman from since she was a kid, abandonment issues, her mom issues with her moms, whatever. Like, she feels like she has to take care of Erica because no one is going to take care of Erica. And the one person she thought was going to take care of Erica for all those years, Tom Girardi, just dogged her. So like, she is shut down right now. So I come from that place where I'm like, I do. There's a part of me that feels really sorry for this woman. Like, and I just don't like to crap on people when their world is shattering around them, because I'm afraid of really scary things happening to people. I mean, I'm a pussycat at the end of the day, like with that kind of stuff. I have such an opinion about it, but I do. I just feel like I want to wait and I want to see. I want it to all come out. And if she's a total dick, we find out that she knew everything and she's still being like, it's like, yeah, tear her down. But I don't know. I just don't like the online hate. It's just exhausting. I mean, if you scroll through Erica Jane's comments, I mean, I'm just like, I can't believe people exist like this. Like, do they?
I mean, it's people go too wild online for anything. So because the stakes are so high with this, it's like, let's not, if you really despise Erica and her behavior and her reactions to things, don't give her an excuse to shy away from talking about stuff by sending and saying vile things, because then the conversation becomes she received this vile thing, which no one deserves, death threats or anything like that. First off, it's inappropriate and dangerous to communicate in that way online, but also you are doing her a favor because the narrative can shift and say she's not worthy of or deserving of constructive criticism because this is the kind of criticism she's getting. Yes. So you're like chopping off the dialogue at its knees.
Yes.
But the other thing with the Eric of it all is the reality is we're never going to know. And to me, I don't want to say it's like ignorant of me, but it's slightly disingenuous of me, I think, when I say it doesn't matter, because I've said that several times. To me, it's not that it doesn't matter. I'm taking that back. It absolutely matters. I would do great on a reunion. I'd be like, let me just shift gears from what I said 3 seconds ago and say literally 8 other things. Dr. Wendy, if you're listening, I've changed my mind about her at least 8 to 12 times in the last 24 hours. But with Erica, to me, the more interesting question is not did she know, because we will literally never know. But to me, the question is, did she benefit from this? Is she understanding that she benefited from all of this fucking money that was not theirs to spend,
she
was able to invest in being on BH. Like, part of the Erica Jane of it all is $40,000-$50,000 a month in glam.
Right.
Like, all of that tied into the mystique that she is still attempting to continue on social. Meanwhile, PK's like, babe, like, it's, you're different now. The narrative is different. Stop doing this thing, because we keep thinking, how did you get to that point of being like diamonds and rosé?
Right.
And that's an interest. I mean, like, that's a, I think, a nuanced conversation to have.
It's funny too, because when I would talk about Erica, people would say, there's no way, I've been married for 20 years and I know everything about my husband. Or, there's no way, blah, blah. There are so many women. I worked in, my whole career was doing hair color in Beverly Hills. I worked on all of these women. Massive celebrities, my client list, Jennifer Aniston, Gwyneth Paltrow, Chelsea Handler, and Miley Cyrus. I do all the, I've done all the huge A-lists, and that's me just shooting my shit, telling everybody my thing. But then I've also done all the reality stars. Reality stars are the real celebrities to me. Like, I freak out when I meet, like, when I would meet reality stars. And the thing that I'm trying to get to is all of these real housewives in Beverly Hills, like actual clients of mine who lived in Beverly Hills, whatever. When I would ask these women about their husband's job, no one could explain to me what their husband did for a living. Like, these women would come in with alligator Birkin bags, like the biggest diamond you've ever seen, Cartier watches, Rolexes, whatever. And, and I would get into the conversation with them. I'd get closer and closer to these women because I became really close with all my clients. And I would say, oh, what kind of work does your husband do for a living? And she would say something really vague, like Jen Shaw would say about her job. And I'd say, oh, but what does that mean? And they're like, to be honest, I have no idea what my husband does. Like, these women don't know where the money comes from. So when people would say to me, Erica Jane, no, she knows where her husband's money comes from. I'm like, no, this was a woman who thought she married the richest lawyer, the most powerful, richest lawyer in LA. And she trusted it. She's not asking questions. And then you have to remember, a man like Tom Girardi is not answering her question. You know, like, she, So she's just trusting, she's just taking the money. Is that disgusting to the rest of the world? Absolutely. That will never make sense to the majority of us, but it happens a lot in Beverly Hills. People have no idea what their husband is making. I'll say I've been with my partner for 8 years now. We've
Wow.
never talked about money. He never asked me where any of my money, and I'm the breadwinner in our family. My partner takes care of, we're engaged, we're not married yet, but he takes care.
Tov.
Thank you. He takes care of our house and our whole life. Like our life would fall apart without him. But he never asked me a thing about money. You know, I have my own hair care line now, and so we sell. And then I make money in lots of different ways, real estate, and I did hair for all those years. And then my hair care line, he never asked me anything. Like he has no idea how much money's coming in at all. I could be selling drugs and he literally would have no idea. So I don't know. I do think there's a lot of people who are in relationships who don't know things. And that actually brought up a really good conversation between my partner and I. His nickname is Scoot. That's what we all call him. But Scoot, and I started talking about it. I was like, Scoot, you need to know. You need to know everything about our
Yes,
finances. You
exactly.
need to see everything. And also, because if heaven forbid something happened to me, you need to know where everything is. You need to be able to answer all the questions. It actually brought out a conversation in our relationship. So people can't go to that place being like, I know everything about my husband. It's like, yeah, because you're in a normal relationship. Erica Jane and Tom Girardi were never in a normal relationship. She didn't marry this guy when he was 20 and she was 18, and they grew this fortune together. She walked into a fortune. She thought he had a legitimate fortune, and he fooled her. The guy we have figured out is the ultimate con artist. He fooled her. It happens a lot.
It happens a lot, and yet, listen, it's like when people start talking about like, oh, you know, this comes up in part four of Potomac with Nikki talking to the women, which guys I'll get into on this weekend's AG, but the conversation around if you had $1 billion, would you still marry your husband? Which is an interesting conversation.
I
It's
loved
also
that question. It's
right. It's
fabulous.
such a good question, and it's also the idea that like, listen, your partner may or may not literally be on set, but regardless of that, I get why people would be like, of course I still would marry Michael Darby. Like he's
No,
such a
you wouldn't.
wonderful
No, like, no,
man.
you wouldn't.
But like you maybe wouldn't. And that's so I to me, it's okay if a part of the reason that you wanted to be with this person was for security or financial security. People love to drag each other, speaking of social, on social for making that kind of decision, which, like, how is that not attractive to a person? It feels odd to me. It doesn't have to be the only reason, but it's just a different thing that a person can think about or value, which I say in a non-critical way. People value certain things. And a lot of it is based on how you experienced childhood. Maybe you had a really insecure childhood where there was financial insecurity or emotional insecurity, and you look at money being provided as a form of stability, which is
Ability.
really
That is
attractive.
very attractive. And a lot of people are attracted to stability. You're attracted to, like, you want a partner who's stable, who can take care of things. And I don't think, like, again, being from the Beverly Hills world, like, I understand women who are attracted to men who have power. Men who have power are narcissists and they suck and your life ends up sucking. But I understand the initial attraction to that. I understand attraction to somebody who has a big lifestyle. Like, you think that that will make your lifestyle greater, but it all goes down to back to stability. This man feels secure, he feels confident. Narcissists are very attractive at the beginning. So it happens all the time, and it's not some big shocker. The rest of us who are in relationships for love and we've grown with our partners and we've built our lives together, yeah, we're the lucky ones, but that's not always the case. There are a lot of people who have the opposite. Like, I think Erica walked into this big, fabulous life and she just trusted it for all those years. Do I think there were points where she was like, wait a second, where actually is all this money coming from? And now it feels like a lot of money. I absolutely think she probably thought about that at different points. But A, if she would have asked Tom, he would have been like, Erica, don't even ask those questions, blah, blah, whatever. Or B, I don't think she ever asked the question. I think it was just kind of like, okay, this money's coming in. So I don't know, is she at fault for that? Yeah, that's weird to the rest of us. But I think that it just straight up happened and we're seeing it all crash on her.
I mean, there is also such a good point. There is also the idea of like, did Erica know versus when did Erica find out?
Right.
You know, because that's an interesting when it comes to like the connection between this and this divorce. You know, there is some gray shit there that's like, I think this is connected, regardless of how you feel.
I think there was like, if I had to guess, because we're all speculating, right? I bet you.
Yeah, love it.
I bet there was a period probably 2 years ago or so where all of a sudden she was like, wait, things are starting to get weird. She said she heard about lawsuits happening, whatever. I bet
right.
there was
she got subpoenaed.
Yeah, I bet there was a point where it's like, okay, wait, this is getting weird. So I think that then she started setting herself up to leave. Okay, so there's that. My thing is, she never would have went on to the Housewives wearing all that shit, getting onto private planes, spending the money, had she known it was dirty money. Never! No person with a brain would ever go on to a reality show showing off fake money. They wouldn't, unless you were Jen Shah. But Jen Shah,
I was about to say.
That, but that's Jen Shah's whole character. Like, that's Jen Shah's dirty money. She walked in with that dirty money. She is a classic narcissist, in my opinion. Like, she grosses me out. I don't understand how Jen Shah is not being dragged through the coals half of the way that Erica Jane was. And I think it's because Erica's white and blonde. I'll say it. I think it's easier to be, they get mad at her. I think there's this thing, like, why aren't people ripping down Jen? For like, Jen's not getting half of what Erica got. And that like blows my mind. Why was it so easy for everyone to hate Erica? I don't feel it from Jen.
I totally hear you. And I do think that there is something to be said about the fact that Erica is being given a sympathy edit, and that lens may have something to do with the fact that she's white and blonde. Absolutely. And also, obviously, Jen is the one being accused of these crimes that were committed, not only being accused of the crimes, but being accused of being like the ringleader of all of these crimes, which you would think would provide even more of a stronger critique. And I think a little bit of this also has to do with the fact that, and this is like, I'm truly not trying to be a dick. It's probably drinking game every time I hear him say, like, I'm not trying to be an asshole. It just comes so easy. That's a future tagline. But the idea that, like, Jen is also kind of a joke. Like, what was the expectation for Jen? It's terrible that this stuff has happened. I just watched the Hulu documentary, and I'm again gonna get into that, guys. Big Potomac, big Jen Shah Hulu doc on this weekend's app. It's like something was afoot, shall we say. Certainly had no idea it was this. I just like, she was able to, you know, capitalize on the idea that when someone says the internet, some of us are like, that makes sense. You just said the internet. So that's good enough for me. Like, I don't understand. If you only use 140 characters, that sounds about right, because that's the way my brain has been reformatted. But there is something to be said for the fact that she was so messy her first season that it wasn't as big a surprise, because when you think of Tom Girardi versus Jennifer Shaw, there's a little bit of a difference in scale, in perception and scale.
Right.
Jen Shaw was never seen as this somewhat innocent person pursuing the idea of like justice for the downtrodden.
Right.
She was someone who spent $80,000 on a party for herself and invited a friend whose birthday it happened to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't like the idea of generosity of spirit that was necessarily present.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was such a shock for the whole world when it happened with Tom and Erica. And, you know, the crazy thing is, too, a lot of people were saying, you know, how would you not know your husband's a lawyer? How does a lawyer make all that money? He wasn't just a lawyer. Tom Girardi was the biggest lawyer. I remember one of my clients was actually, I won't say any names, but one of my clients for a really long time in LA was one of Tom's partners. And when we would talk about Tom way before the Housewives, because she saw Erica in the salon at one point, and everyone, oh my God, I'm going to give away a lot of secrets right now. This isn't bad, though.
You're safe space.
It was in public. Okay, Erica Jane used to come into the salon before the Housewives, and everyone knew who she was because she'd come in and she was all decked out. I think she'd come in with her driver or whatever. She had once like a 7-carat ring on one hand and an 11-carat on the other. So everyone called her 7-Eleven in the salon. But none of it. But none of us knew who she was. So she got her hair done at the salon, and we'd all call her 7-Eleven, but no one knew who it was. So one time, my client, who I'd done for many years, was in the salon, and 7-Eleven was in the salon. And she said, oh, my God, that's Erica Girardi. She's like, that's my husband's partner's wife. And she started telling me all these stories, and I'm not going to repeat these, but they're kind of embarrassing stories about how Tom and Erica met and how nobody at the firm took her seriously at all. Like, nobody would talk mm-hmm. to her. They didn't treat her like his wife because they thought she was mm-hmm. such a joke. They called her. They said really nasty things about her. Mm-hmm. Even this woman was like, no one will talk to her in the firm or whatever. And so when I was asking, I was like, oh, how does her husband have all that money though? She clearly looks like she has a ton of money. She's like, he's the biggest lawyer like in the United States. Like Aaron Brockovich, that was his case. He won the $100 million. And that wasn't even one of his biggest cases, you know? So it's like,
right.
The guy had shitloads of money. So when people are saying he was just a lawyer, how did she not know? He wasn't just a lawyer. This guy was making massive amounts of money, and or he was fooling everyone, but everyone in town thought it. Everyone believed that this guy had endless amounts of money.
Well, it's also the idea of perception is reality. And my favorite part of discussing and watching The Housewives is because the theme of Housewives so often is perception is reality, and yet we're going to watch it fall apart. And it doesn't usually involve stakes as far as like in federally discovered, you know, fraud, crime, yada. It's often the idea that it looks like I have this happy marriage. It looks like I have a lot of money. It looks like I have a lot of power or renown in society or whatever else. And then the more you get to know a person, the more complicated their story, their character, the price that they paid to get to the
yes.
point, that superficial, and I don't mean that in a critical way, but like the top layer of skin style person, what was the cost of that? Like, is it that you're in a relationship with someone who does not want to hear the sound of your voice? Is it that you are in a position where you don't feel like you're able to work outside of the home, or your partner only looks at you in a certain way where your opinion doesn't matter?
Yeah.
Is it a situation where like you have these friends, but they're all pieces of shit? Like, that is on a larger scale that feels instinctively, intrinsically escapist, because it's usually dealing with, you know, the LVP diamonds and rosé of it all. That's what attracts people to these shows. But I think the reason that we stay and the reason that we're so connected to it is because of some of that. I always think of it as like some of the shards of glass within us all, you know, like that's sort of the tension of it, but it's also the attraction.
Absolutely.
Which people are complicated. Our opinions can be complicated. Our instincts can be complicated. The reasons that we're sometimes triggered by housewives can be complicated. That's kind of like the human experience, and maybe the Bravo fan experience as well, you know?
Absolutely. Totally. Oh my God, you and I are diehards.
I am dying for this. I also appreciate, connected to what we said at the start, with someone who has opinions that I might not necessarily, not just like agree with, but I might not necessarily see, which shows the power of housewives in that like we can have very different experiences, let alone thoughts about these shows that we're watching, which makes it endlessly fascinating. And it's also to me much more interesting to have conversations where someone is saying something that I either haven't thought of,
yes,
or necessarily feel myself, because
yes,
what's the fucking point of talking?
Well, and here's the thing, anybody listening out there, you right now have made me like, I've gone back and forth again with Erica here. I'm like, wait, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm like, wait, maybe I do hate her, maybe I'll whatever. And then I start to explain mm-hmm. my side. We're going back and forth. So here's the thing, like mm-hmm. we said, we don't know the answers. We're never really gonna know all the answers. But it's okay right. to have this back and forth. That's why this is a TV show. It's why it's enjoyable, you know? So months from now, and I even said this when I got into hot water about Britney Spears, because I was like, I was the whole free Britney movement, because I'm connected to certain people in LA. Everyone's like, Justin, why aren't you screaming for more stuff about Britney? And I was always saying, I want to hear more before I say anything. And also, why the fuck is my opinion any good anyways? But I was on a podcast one time and I was talking about Britney, and I was like, I just want to hear more things or whatever. And this was a year ago. But I'm totally on board with Free Britney. I have it on my Instagram, whatever. Well, then when Britney was out of her conservatorship, I started getting all this hate message being like, I heard you on this. It was a big podcast. And they're like, I heard you on the podcast and you weren't being supportive of Britney. I was like, that was a year and a half. It was actually a year and a half ago. And I was just asking questions. And my voice isn't huge. So what I'm saying is, a year from now, if Erica Jane is in prison, I'm not sitting here saying I think Erica's innocent. I'm saying I want to just, like, I'm watching just like everyone else. I'm asking questions. What if this happened? What if she had no idea? You know, so it's a conversation.
Well, it's also the idea. It's the idea of normalized changing your mind based on new information.
Yes, you can, like, change your mind.
There's a lot of information that we didn't, that most people didn't know, that came out in that hearing when Britney was, God forbid, allowed to use her voice. And whatever punishment she feared would happen as a result of that, the stakes were too high for her to not, which she had wanted. It was the first time that someone had, God forbid, allowed her to talk about the reality of the prison that she has been in for 13 years. It was the first time for many people, because of the power of the conservatorship, that people were understanding of what happened as a result of
yes.
this. The fact that she couldn't make medical decisions, the fact that she couldn't drive a car, the fact that she, you know, would be punished with, like, being forced medication if she didn't agree to do certain things professionally. She couldn't see her kids. Like, the threats of that, all of that was new information. So if you were a person in the world a year ago who didn't know any of that, and also did not want to potentially criticize someone who could be in a situation dealing with mental health or
yes.
some other kind of medical concern, I mean, people didn't know until they knew. So, like, there are many situations going on where we may have huge opinions, or we may say wait and see. Obviously, the Britney stuff is a little different in the sense that, you know, the stakes, again, are incredibly high. But it is possible that people can change their mind
yeah.
based on new information, or information for the first time truly being publicly
yeah.
shared.
The Britney thing is, like, a whole other podcast. But the reason I say it is, like, yeah. I got into a lot of hot water because of my opinion. Not even my opinion, just things I was saying casually, like we're doing right now, mm-hmm. a year and a half ago. And people got really angry about it. But, I mean, the Britney stuff is fucking crazy now that we hear even more mm-hmm. of the fact. I was lied to when I was in LA by people really close, because I'm a diehard Britney mm-hmm. fan. I know Jamie Lynn Spears pretty well. I've worked with her a bunch of times. And there were mm-hmm. text messages, pictures that I was shown, you know, that it was kind of like, Britney's fine, all this kind of stuff. So I was lied like that. So there was, it's just a crazy story.
Yeah, that is one of those things that's so fucking dark when it gets into how she was exploited by her family, and how people, including her sister, as Britney herself says, profited from a place of enormous pain. It is dark AF, and you were surely not the first nor last person
right.
who was told a certain thing, you know, on the DL about what was going on that we
yeah.
all understand.
Well, it's funny too.
Untrue.
It's funny too, because it's like Miley Cyrus is a really good friend of mine and a client of mine. Mm. And there was a time when everyone was saying, why isn't Miley speaking up? There's also a thing about when you're in that world, like you're talking to people who know, it's like, oh no, Britney's fine. Like I saw her the other day. There was a lot of lying happening. So when people are like, why aren't celebrities mm. standing up? Like, most people don't know what's happening in each other's life, and they're giving people privacy and respect. We have never seen something like this happen with a celebrity ever before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Nobody knew that this could be as bad as it looks like it actually is, you know, or that we're learning
right.
that it is, or what Britney's telling us. But let's go into that at another time. We'll have a whole nother podcast about that, because I have a lot to say.
I mean, I think that's the after show, but, like, Jamie Lynn, you can go fuck yourself. I guess my little sorry, I think she's a piece of shit. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. She's the devil. I'm so sorry.
I love you.
Sorry.
I still like Jamie Lynn, and Britney follows.
You're the one.
I know she follows.
I'm sorry.
Britney still follows Jamie Lynn, and apparently they're friends. We'll see what happens. Again, I don't know. I give too many people the benefit of the doubt. I love people, and I just don't want to see the bad in people. Mm. So whatever.
I mean, sometimes you don't want to see the bad, and sometimes the bad is just shown so many times
yeah.
over that it's like, what did the good feel like? Because all I can see is there's like a real big course correction. But it does sort of beg the question from a housewife's perspective, is there a housewife, for better or worse, who you truly change direction thinking about, where you either started from a place of like, this person's a piece of shit or whatever, and now you're like, wow, I've truly changed my mind about this person, or you started from the position of really liking them, and the more you saw of them, the more kind of complications or whatever else happened, you were like, ooh, maybe I hate them now. Like, is there someone where you really feel like you changed your mind about for whatever reason?
That's such a good question, but I pretty much feel like all of my ones that I like love, I still love, and I've loved them through the ups and the downs. And even when people like kind of show like a weird side to them, I kind of get it. And I really think into this stuff and I end up liking them again. So there's no one that really stands out. But this season on Potomac, honestly, like I went back and forth with liking Wendy a lot. You know, I come from the place of like when everyone was saying like Wendy changed so much this season, I'm like, I think everyone should change every season. Like we're all growing constantly. You know, I don't want to be who I was 2 years ago. Like at the core, I always want to be the same person. But like, I don't know, I was that person that was like, if Wendy wants to come back next season as a nun, I would be like, okay, great. Wendy's a nun this season, and we're going to deal with that, you know? So it's like, but with her, I feel like I'm still trying to figure her out. But other than that, usually when I don't like someone at the beginning, I kind of don't like them all the way through. And then the same thing when I like someone. I'm one of the weird people that really likes Lisa Rinna. I think Lisa Rinna's fabulous. I know Lisa Rinna also like casually in person, and she's the nicest person in person. She'll talk to everyone. She remembers everyone's name. She's like, whatever. But I think Lisa Rinna is fabulous on that show. I like good entertainment. My biggest thing that I get so angry about people like in the Bravo world is when people are like, get rid of so-and-so, fire them. I'm like, If Andy Cohen fired all the people that you keep telling him to fire, the shows would be so fucking boring. Like, we saw that happen with Vanderpump. He got rid of Stassi. He got rid of Jax. They're both problematic, whatever. But no one watches the show now. It's a terrible show. Nothing's happening. It's like, I want Ramona Singer. Do I ever want to hang out with Ramona Singer? No. Do I relate to anything about her? No. But, like, I get why she's on a show like that. You know, it's like, I also think that this past season of New York, which was just, like, a dumpster fire of a season.
Yeah,
it was so bad. But I want to see Ramona come back, and I know she won't apologize, but I want to see if she acts differently after what happened this past season. So when everyone says fire Ramona, she doesn't deserve the platform anymore, I'm like, you guys, I want to watch reality TV. I want to see people go through the highs and the lows. I want to see them redeem themselves. And there's going to be people who are just the villain. You know, like every show needs that. So I don't buy into that whole fire this person, get rid of them.
I hear you. And I also think, you know, it's one of the, if there's a 10 commandment to housewives, you know, honor thy villain, you know, like respect your villains. There are people who are here who you're not going to like. Some of you may thrive on disliking them, but understand that they serve a purpose on this show, and without them, you know, I don't know where we would be. Now, when it comes to VPR, I haven't watched a single episode of the season, having nothing to do with a cast change. I just, for whatever reason, haven't been super interested in it.
I've never watched it, really. I've never been like a big, I've never been like a big fan of it, but I understand the show, and I understand that people are diehard fans. And I just kind of watched what happened when they got rid of like Stassi and Jackson. Like those, the show needed them, you know, they were whatever.
I mean, I also think that, like, with VPR, there was an expiration date on this.
Yeah,
no, 100%. It was a very specific cast struggling, and then it's, like, a very specific cast no longer struggling, dealing with celebrity, and now it's, like, how much conflict are you going to have when all of you are married or in long-term partnerships, and you have kids, and you're no longer working at the bar, and there's this person here who employs you in the sense of the reality TV show includes her title, but, like, where are we with this? So I don't know what to do with that. With Ramona, I think there's a difference between like respecting your villains, and this is just we know this ride because we've been on it for so long. It's maybe no longer entertaining. We know that she will always bring conflict because she's garbage. She's like a stain on humanity.
Yeah.
Like just as a light touch. Like, we know she's a monster. It is engaging to watch her have to grapple with the fact that on Ultimate Girls Trip, she's no longer able to just like walk over people because she doesn't feel like they're at the same level at her. She's now on a show with people who are arguably more successful at Housewives than she is, more well known. So it's an interesting and smarter and funnier. Yeah. So it's like an interesting power dynamic in that sense. But she's not, she's, what is, what value is she bringing? It's not enough to be a bad, shitty, awful, arguably racist person. Like, what?
Yes. And she, yes. And she is all of those things. But I just binge watched Ultimate Girls Trip and there would be no show without Ramona. What would happen without Ramona?
Oh my God.
There would be. What would happen,
Anderson,
though? What would the
conflict be?
What would the conflict be? Like, where's the conflict?
Everything. But with, are you kidding?
No, I'm
there
not.
There is so much conflict. No, maybe
it was that was the all of the conflict was with Ramona and Kenya, which, by the way, I've never understood Kenya, but now I'm like, wait, do I love Kenya now on this? On
yeah, you do love Kenya.
Yeah,
you
I love Kenya. Kenya
you
love Kenya. On
you love Kenya.
But
she's a star.
So here's the thing. Like, I have to say this to anybody who's rolling their eyes right now listening. I don't understand Ramona. There's nothing. I couldn't even sit through a meal with her. Bad. But when I'm watching TV, like, yeah, she's on the show for a reason. We're all sitting there with our mouths dropped. Like, did she really just do that? Like, Ultimate Girls Trip, I stand by it. That would have been so boring without Ramona. Because they all got along. They all got along.
Okay, here's the problem with talking alternate universes. What would have happened without this person? What would have happened had the whole thing with Tom Girardi not happened? I would say that in both cases, Beverly Hills and Ultimate Girls Trip, you still would have had solid and in many ways, incredibly entertaining content because the casting was top notch. We will never know in the alternate universe what would have happened on Girls Trip if Ramona hadn't been a part of it. And she maybe served a purpose for this first season. Maybe it's her goodbye from the Bravo universe.
Yeah.
But like, we won't ever know that because it didn't happen. Because she's such a piece of shit. People are going to say, wow, what is that stench? Is that coming from that woman who does also, sidebar, happen to frequently shit on the floor? Like, yes. Are we going to talk about, like, the stench because she's present? Like, of course we are. But if someone, you know, one of the members of, as she would call it, the help, like, if that had been cleaned out in the sense that someone had taken out the trash and this garbage mess wasn't a part of it, would it still have been a good show? I understand the perspective of, I don't think so, because she was at the heart of so much drama right now, but she's also at the heart of so much drama because she's so obviously bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that there, we'll never know. It's like, what would have happened if yada yada? We just won't know.
Here's my thing. And again, right here, you just made a really good point. You have me thinking again, and you're absolutely right, because I hate when people say that, like, oh, without this one person, what would the show be? Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. It'd still be a fantastic show. Other things would happen. Mm-hmm. But okay, I'm obsessed with reality TV like you are, obviously. But my thing is like, I think Ramona is such a good learning experience for a lot of people to watch and be like, oh my God, I don't want to be. So I like Ramona being on TV for the prime example of what can never be. I grew up in a very conservative white area. And there are people who, to this day, that I know that I grew up with, who still think I'm a good person. I'm not racist at all. And they really believe that. Maybe if some of them watch Ramona, they're like, holy shit, I've said some of the things that she's done. I've done a few things. So I'm very passionate about us actually growing as a society and learning. And I think reality TV, sadly, is one of the only places where people are actually learning and growing because we're watching real people. So getting rid of Ramona just, again, makes it seem like, oh, they don't exist. Ramonas exist all over the United States. Ramonas are everywhere. Entitled women are everywhere. So for me, I'm like, I want Ramona there. My mom is the most fabulous woman in the world, but she's a 65-year-old white woman, you know, who lives in Pasadena, California. I want my mom to watch someone like Ramona on it to be like, oh my God, some of my friends act like her, you know? And it's like a reminder. You get rid of all those people. I don't know. I think it's a great learning experience. So hate me if you want, but I feel like some of those people are good for being on TV, you know?
I think that's such a good point. I also think it ties in with the idea that to have this kind of person on TV, to edit it in a certain way, to build a structure where some of the stuff that she says is quote unquote entertainment, and not have a counter to that or a chance to understand if there was any nuance to be extracted by, you know, said person's cast members, or like an opportunity for someone to say, well, you know what, like I said or did this thing and this is my response to it now, regardless of the circumstance and conversation. It's a really shitty thing to have this, you know, hole of despair that was the most recent season of New York, and regardless of how many times it was dragged, to not have the reunion. And I've said repeatedly, like, I wouldn't watch it, but like as time has gone on, I think I've shifted in the sense that I'm like, you know what, it actually makes the season worse to not have the reunion. And just because people are talking about how shitty it is doesn't give you the excuse as like a network or whatever to try to hide it
exactly
away after you created
exactly. Like, let it play through. That bothered me so much, and I'm one of those people. I thought the best thing about this season was Ebony. I absolutely loved Ebony. I loved the conversations that she was having, and I had so many people who were like, I don't need to hear about that kind of stuff when I watch Housewives. It's an escape. I'm like, why does those conversations bother you so much? Like, I wanted to see those conversations happen, you know? So I'm with you. I think it really sucked that Bravo just said no reunion because they got so much hate. Again, they're probably listening to so many of the fans. Like, we hate this season. Just end it. Like, you got to play it through. Was it a bad season? Yeah, but I wanted to see them sit in a reunion and answer those questions. Even if Ramona walked her ass off the stage and left, it would be like, okay, this woman is not going to say sorry. She's not going to own up to anything. She's not going to be like, wow, I watched myself on TV and I really did act horrible. Like, finish it out with a reunion. Again, it's like when they just cancel people off the shows, nothing gets solved. This is reality TV. I want to see it play through.
Well, it's also the difference between the idea of people, including people like Ramona, hiding behind the idea of quote unquote cancel culture versus the idea of like you're being held accountable for very specific instances of behavior. And sure, is there a world in which we're living where people are afraid of being wrong, expressing an opinion, having a conversation because they are being afraid that they will in fact be canceled? Like, that does exist. There are people who are like, you're not enough of a pure example of X, Y, and Z that I'm no longer going to listen to or respect you. And that is every person's right to feel a certain way or whatever else. And we're talking about sort of like the nuanced side conversations. There is also the idea that in this like well of shit, which was the last season of New York, we learn things about people that shows an element of growth. Like, Sonia can be a complete fucking chaotic mess, which she was at Black Shabbat, and also the same person who can say, I think, really nuanced and educated perspectives when talking about race. I wouldn't
absolutely
have known that
absolutely
except for watching this season.
That part about this season with Sonia blew me away. I mean, she had me in tears at one point. You know, the way that she was acting with Ebony, I thought it was beautiful. So I thought there were a lot of beautiful moments, but I think that there were a lot of bad, but I think it sucks that they didn't do the reunion. But I really do stand by, I think, if for anything else, keep Ramona on the show as an example for certain people to never be that kind of a person. Those people exist, so we should see them on reality TV. Like, and here's the other thing really, really quick. Because people say when...
I'm giving eyes.
When they want to get rid of a person, like, they're like, fire Ramona, she shouldn't have that platform. Okay, here's the thing. Ramona, the platform, what you take your platform from reality TV, you take a platform, you go out to your audience, and you try to have other things, like, of ways of making money or whatever. People aren't fans of Ramona. She doesn't have fans. Look at her...
She's super fans.
But look at her social media. Like, no one's liking anything. No one's really commenting on anything. I think she's just like a big laugh. She's a big joke. Like, keep her on as an example of what not to be. And again, I could be totally wrong. This is just, I'm just chatting.
I love I'm just chatting. That's the new tagline of Annie's Girls. Hashtag I'm just chatting. Make that a thing. Listen, there are so many terrible people. Why do we need one who also says things like, as reported by the New York Post, as confirmed by Heather Thompson, but it's something to go on the record and confirm it, that she did in fact say, this is why we don't want or need Black people on the show. That came out this week, that it was confirmed according to someone who was in the room where it happened. And it's like, people, I put that on social, and a lot of people are like, well, it's, you know, through the perspective of, you know, Heather and yada yada. And it's like, this is actually a very big deal for someone to say on the record that this thing happened. And you can have terrible people who also don't say that kind of thing. Yeah. Like,
I mean, if that
and how entertaining is it at a certain point? Yeah. You can find other Ramona's been on for 1500 seasons, and I think the time has come.
If that is true, yeah, that absolutely is a thing. But I think that they'd have to confirm it, and that is disgusting and vile. I hadn't heard that part yet, so that's gross. So that changes my opinion on that. Get rid of Ramona. Fire Ramona. I hate Ramona so much. I never want to see her on my TV ever again.
Well, I also have to say that, like, you know, listen, we learned a lot about, like, maybe Sonia this season. Obviously, Ebony was a new housewife, so we got to see a part of her journey and her time on Housewives. And I think it's also what makes Ultimate Girls Trip so interesting, because the reunion for many times is a chance for people to explain their behavior, maybe be held accountable, you know, maybe a light spiritual drag or whatever happens. But it in many ways sometimes enables a person to change their mind based on new information, and from a viewership sense have a more layered perspective of someone. And we look at Ultimate Girls Trip, and what I think is so powerful about it is because we are being given the gift, the opportunity to see more of a sense of humanity in women who are otherwise a little bit of a caricature, often on their seasons, because they're considered all-stars because of that, the power that they've accrued. It's like a different environment. And I think about Luann, who has shown such a humane, understandable, empathetic side of herself on Girls Trip. And we wouldn't have been afforded that gift had she been on, you know, having this kind of experience, I think, with her New York cast. I think it's different.
No, it's absolutely. And I want to have 5 sleepovers a week with you and just talk all night.
Because we're going to. I'll see you tomorrow. I brought my sleeping bag.
I die for these conversations. But okay,
Ramona's so inside.
I binge watched Ultimate Girls Trip this weekend. I feel the exact same way as you. I felt like emotional watching it because I just loved all these pieces that we got of people. And just like you said, I am like a diehard, like, I felt a part of Luann that I'd never felt before. I'm in love with her. I love Kenya. I love Cynthia. I love Teresa. You know, we saw all this stuff. But then again, what we were just talking about, Ramona, I hate her more than ever before. I think she's, again, didn't redeem herself at all. But Ultimate Girls Trip was absolutely fabulous. Seeing that side of all of them, seeing them get to bond over, like, their experiences with reality TV and who they are in their cast and whatever, it was fabulous. And that's why I love it. I love those real conversations. I love seeing people like open up. And so I just think it's fabulous. I hope we get lots more of those. And I hope they're smart about the casting.
I think they, I mean, I look at it as, I did an hour long Patreon with Christian Grey Snow, which you guys can listen to on the AG Patreon, only solely about Ultimate Girls Trip with a little bit of New York thrown in. And they seem to have done such a good job of casting, both with, like, the all-stars, which I know we're not, like, supposed to call it, but look at me calling it exactly that, with the all-stars where you go to the Fabulous Island, multi-million-dollar mansion, like, she. And then another cast goes to Dorinda's house in Massachusetts. And it's a different energy. We got some Brandy there. We've got some Phaedra. We've got Dorinda. Got Jill. It's going to be maybe, I don't think I'm, like, speaking out of turn and saying it's going to be moderately to incredibly chaotic. And I like the idea of these two different universes. I think that should continue and be intentional.
Absolutely.
I think it's really kind of fascinating.
I love it. I love it so much.
Listen, Justin Anderson, I could talk to you about Housewives forever. You need to come back. I need to get your thoughts on Potomac. I need to get your thoughts on literally everything. I want to talk to you about Erica Jane for another 7 to 15 hours because it is my sweet spot. It is my safe space. I could talk about Beverly Hills while the day is long. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about, you know, what you're working on now? Are you filming another show? Is there anything that we can hear about that? A little new dementia for you and your pal, Kristen?
I am honestly, and I hate being that person because I'm not that person. I'm a loudmouth. I can't say a word about it. But Kristen and I will do cool things together. No. So I right now I'm working on my product line, DP Hue. I don't do hair color anymore. I'm living in Nashville full time. But all my products we sell them everywhere. We're going international this year. So that's my focus. And then, there's other stuff that's in the works that will be fun that I'm excited about.
You know what needs to happen? I have only seen the first episode of Winter House because at a certain point, there's just so much fucking content. Have you watched Winter House? I feel like you have, maybe. Have you not?
No. So I am really good friends with Austin and Craig. I love them. They're really good friends. Are. And I want to wait till I can kind of binge watch. So, but to be honest, okay, so I've tried to watch the first episode and kind of like when you know people in it, it takes the fun out of it. It does. Like, I just don't really want to watch people I know getting drunk and stuff, but I'll end up watching all of that. I loved Summer House this past year, fucking fabulous. I've been a fan of Southern Charm forever, but once you start knowing people, it just feels different. You don't want to watch as much, but I'll end up binge watching it.
It also becomes probably a little complicated because like one would potentially want to talk about the show with that person and what information is going to be revealed. It might, God forbid, worst case scenario, make the show itself less interesting. You know, you always think like, I want to hear the tea, but that doesn't always deliver the kind of response that you're going to want to hear as an actual fan.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like when it was happening, like I remember I was FaceTiming with Austin a lot when they were in the Winter House. So like I'd kind of like heard the stuff that was happening. So I know pretty much what happened. So it's like when I don't know, I don't need to watch that show, which is fine. I don't need any more shows to watch. But I hear that it's fabulous and all the people on it are so great.
And they're filming Southern Charm right now. I wonder if Paige is going to guest on it, appear on it in any way, since she and Craig are in a little romance, dating sitch.
It looks like it's happening. I mean, wink, wink. Like, it seems like it is. She's down there quite a bit, and they are fully together. Southern Charm, like, what direction is that going to go in? I mean, I've been a fan of it since season one. I've always loved it. But it got kind of weird this last time. They put someone on that they shouldn't have full time.
Gesticulating that's happening for this audio podcast. Unrelated to what you just potentially revealed. Isn't it wild when you think about this is the impact, you know, like what impact does Bravo have in culture? Jennifer Lopez ended her engagement with A-Rod because of a reunion reveal from Southern Charm. That is actually insane when you think about it. Insane that kicked off. It didn't completely, but it kicked off a little bit of a whirlwind, a little bit of a tornado that resulted. Like, that's nutso.
Yeah, it's nutso. But I think that the one common denominator in all of that is nutso. You know, and I think that that's just the problem sometime in life. You get there's one nutso that was had a loud mouth and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, can I push back on that a little bit in the idea of like having personal relationships with people and that affecting your perspective or even interest in watching these shows because of that personal relationship? Do you still apply the respect your villains ethos, understanding in those situations in which you may have the benefit of more information or real-time, real-world personal interaction? Like, in the case of Madison, does that still apply? Does the idea of respect your villain still apply there?
No, absolutely. And also, look, like, I love a villain. I love a loudmouth person. I like an opinionated person. I am not a fan of people who talk to people who are in relationships. I'm just not. You know, I'm not a fan, even like I'm not a fan of both parties, you know, both people, two adults coming together. But I feel like when somebody is openly talking to someone who's in a relationship, I'm just not a fan. I'm such a relationship guy. And so I'm not being judgmental, but I just think
I'm giving eyes back.
I think that's a gross thing. I just think it's gross. I don't stand for that. That's where I would like draw the line. I'm kind of like, that's gross. Like, regardless, if you're like, that person hit me up, it's like, yeah, but you're engaging, you know? And then not only are you engaging, you're taking it further and trying to make it benefit for you. everyone involved is gross. But that's just, to me, that's a huge character flaw.
Totally agree. And I would say, in the words of Austin, Madison! It goes both ways in that little scenario, but that's where we are. Listen, Justin, I could talk to you forever. Where can people, I know that they're already following you, but where can they follow you again on social, getting more information about your product line and projects you're working on? Where can people go?
I'm just my name, Justin Anderson on Instagram. And then my product line is DPHUE. So it's DPHUE. And we're in Sephora, Ulta, Nordstrom, Amazon, DPHUE.com. It's also all my products take care of hair color in between salon visits and then all hair needs. So we focus on hair color, but we have everything to take care of all hair needs. I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff.
Can you, I would die for that. Also, you're not seeing, I'm kind of like a fuck up today. Like we need to record again. I'm working on a office, very different situation for recording. Things are happening. You need to see me with my like golden blonde moment with my beloved.
You're fabulous. You're fabulous. And with your personality, you could be wearing a bag on your head and you'd be fabulous. But my thing is like, God, I want you to be really blonde. You are a blonde. Like your personality screams bright blonde. Mm-hmm. Like you are a blonde.
And it is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
well, it's tied back. I can't see it. Yeah.
I need you to see. Do you have anything for people with? Because I have like curly, wavy hair. Do you? And you know, it's like you don't want to do crunchy, but you also want it to keep form. Do you have anything for a variety of different hair textures and hair opportunities?
Yeah, we cover all hair colors and hair textures. But I am about to come out with, and this is the first place I'm saying it publicly, but in January I'm coming out with a full line of styling products, and they are. Out of this world. I have been working on it for years with my team, and I am a freak about really good styling products. And so we have a full line coming out in January, and they are the best. We have been going back and forth with our with the chemist and production and all that, and they are out of this world. And so they're going to launch in January. I'm going to send you so much good stuff, you're going to die.
Oh my God.
We cover everything for hair.
I require everything in every way. And you're truly providing it all.
It was so great because all my years in the salon, like when I was in there with all these women, mm-hmm. I would hear every woman's complaint about her hair. Mm-hmm. So I was just always taking all these mental notes about what was missing from the hair world and mm-hmm. what people really, really need. And so I've taken all of that and put them into different products that take care of all those specific needs. So all of our stuff is very, very specific. And once you find your routine within my line, it covers everything. I am passionate about hair. I love it so much. And I think everyone should have fabulous hair.
I love that. And guys, you know what I'm passionate about? Taking your money. Join the Andy's Girls Patreon. You get invites to exclusive Andy's Girls Zoom Key Keys bonus episodes. There are two new episodes out this week. One, a 1 hour deep dive of Ultimate Girls Trip with Christian Grey Snow, which is an iconic, one of my favorite Patreon episodes of the year. Another, a Satchel of Gold Spectacular. Slide into my thoughts. You'll do that too. Slide into my DMs on Instagram. Give me a follow at Dame Galley and let me know your thoughts about the Potomac reunion, the upcoming Orange County premiere, Salt Lake City, Jen Shah on Hulu, ABC News, shenanigans, etc. Because all of that will be covered on this weekend's ep. And patreon.com/andysgirls, Instagram at Dame Galley. I think I've covered it all. Justin Anderson, a total pleasure.
Oh my
this
God,
was an
so
iconic
fun.
First episode.
So
more
fun.
To come. I totally die for you. Tell Kristen I said hello.
I
random
will.
Follower on Instagram. I really do enjoy. I loved the E! Show, I have to tell you. I just thought it was so surprising and like in some ways just really great, entertaining, fun. So I'm excited for what you guys are going to work on next. You're going to tell me everything about it, and I'm going to special guest star. In the meantime, guys, I hope you're all staying safe, staying sane, getting vaccinated, boosted if you can, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.